sex. Might as well just say it, right? That's what we're talking about. So I'm going to tell you a little bit about my story. When I was in first grade, somebody said the F word. I said, what does that mean? And she drew a picture. I now know that picture was correct. And so I went away thinking, oh, you shouldn't say that word, which of course is a correct assumption. And then I moved on to second grade. And in second grade, we are sitting at the lunch table. I'm innocently eating when somebody says the F word. And I say, that is disgusting. You should, you know what that means. I know what it means. And you should never say that word. And the boy said, your parents had to do it for you to get here. No, my parents would never do anything so disgusting. And when yes, they did. No, they didn't. Yes, they did. No, they didn't. Yes, they did. So I went home.
Mom, you know what the boy in school said? He said you and Daddy had to, and I used the F word, for me to be here.
And my mother looked at me and said, oh, honey, we prefer to call it making love. And so she sat down with me and explained everything. She got out the medical book and showed me the insides and the outsides. I want you to know I felt very fancy on the inside. And I appreciated that my daddy was fancy on the outside. Everybody's fancy. And I learned all about where babies come from on that day. I probably learned more than I needed to at that time, but it was done in such a beautiful way. And I was shown the promise of Scripture. My mother promised me that at the right time, I would no longer think it was disgusting, because for a long time, I still felt it was pretty gross. And it was beautiful. I look back at that, and I'm really thankful for that ugly little boy for talking in such a rude way to me, because he gave my mom a great opportunity to share with me something beautiful. But I kind of wish that I'd heard some of those stuff, those things first, you know, that it wasn't my first time hearing it in that circumstance with a little picture being drawn for me by some girl with a paper clip on stone. But anyway, I want to share with you some personal disclosure. Kevin and I did not do really great on this, especially with our boys. Did much better with our girls. But you know what they say about 20/20 hindsight? I've got it now. I have hindsight. I'm 53. I'm older than most of you here. Not all of you, but most of you. So just by living a little bit longer and looking back at my mistakes, I have some things I want to share with you so that you don't have to do the same mistakes we did. Isn't that nice of me? Remember at the technology talk, some of you were here, and we said, delay, 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 about giving phones, about computer access. Well, now I'm going to tell you, sooner, 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 sooner than you think, which is really scary. But I want you to think about this. Your youngest child has exposure to your oldest child's oldest friends. So your youngest child that you think, oh, just a little six-year-old, doesn't know nothing. Well, they're hearing whatever your 10th grader might be bringing home. Even if your 10th grader is trying to be really careful, little six-year-olds have big ears. And they're being exposed, and because they're not just being talked to but catching it, they're getting that information way different. And how many of you know that the shows that you didn't let your oldest child watch, your youngest child now is seeing just because of family dynamic? And then you add friends and that exposure. So just remember earlier and earlier. And here's the reason why. Because moms and dads, I want you to be the experts in your family. I want you to be the first ones to share these things. I want you to be the ones to beat the world to the punch. And so when these things, these questions come up, here are some phrases I want you to tuck away so that you're ready when the conversation arises. I'm so glad you asked that. You came to the right place because mommy and daddy are experts in this area. That is a great question. I can tell you're thinking about things a lot. You know, God's word actually has a lot to say about that. So you have some of these phrases ready, and then you take a breath and you launch into answering those questions. But before you even get to those questions, friends, God's word has to be central in your home. It has to be what you're building your family life around. Family devotion, family worship time doesn't solve all the issues, but it's a starting place for everything. So even if you can't solve something at Sunday dinner, knowing that that's a place that your children can come to and have a moment together, that's really a good place to start. God's word has to be central. You need to communicate the centrality of the gospel for all of your life. I can remember my kids saying, "Mom and Dad, is everything we do Christian?" Well, yeah. Yeah, it is. Everything we do, even in the secular, is Christian because we're doing everything for the glory of God. Children see you living by the word of God, and that adds weight when you speak to them concerning the word. If they see that you're in the scripture, that you're starting the day with them in prayer, that you're taking time to review the sermon as you drive home. I'm not talking big planned out things. I'm saying minutes here and there that make the gospel central. Then when you speak about these things, you've got a little bit of credence. And it's not too late to start. I know some of you may think, my kids are already in high school. They are never going to deal with this. But, you know, you can just say before grace, "Hey, I just wanted to share this Bible verse with you." Make it really low key, but begin, even if you think it's too late. It's not too late. And one thing that I shared with you all last time if you were here is don't give up that bedtime routine too easily. You know, when they were little and you read stories and you prayed with them and then tucked them into bed in that sweet, sweet time when their hearts were open? Don't give up on that with your middle school kids and even your high school kids. Go ahead and step into their room before, you know, once they get to high school, they're going to bed after you are. But when you go to bed, slip in. Rub their back, say, "How was your day? I'm praying for you." Pray for them. You know what happens is those teenagers, they're most vulnerable late at night when you're ready to go to bed. And you go in there and you're tired and they go, "Oh, I did have this." And if they're a girl, and then that's the time that you get to talk. So don't give up on that time just because the kids are middle school and they can brush their teeth and get themselves ready for bed. Keep it as long as you can, that the midnight ritual it becomes later. Because we need a rhythm of prayer and family worship. Thinking about things that happen in our day from a biblical worldview in order to provide the foundation for our sexual ethics. You know, Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they were in Babylon, they were captive, and they were serving the king in this place where God wasn't served, much like we are. We're in this secular world where God is not being served, and yet there they were, and they were different. They ate different food, and they were noticed for their prayer life. And you know, not everything led to the fiery furnace, and not everything led to the lion's den. I'm sure they had lots of little things all along the way, but they were equipped because of that daily prayer and because of setting themselves apart. And we want the same thing for our kids, that they are equipped because you're having that daily rhythm of prayer with them, that they know daily they are set apart, so they learn to be different in the little things. And then when some of these big things happen, you've got a bit of a foundation to help them through. If you want your kids to think correctly about sexuality, then from the get-go, they need to know that they're not their own, but that they belong to God. So this is for parents of littles. From their time they're born and you're changing their diaper, share truth with them. Who made you, bunny, bunny, bunny? God made you. Do you know what else he made? God made all things. Can you do all things? What a big boy you are. Do you know why God made you and all things? For his own glory. Yay! That's right, for his own glory. Do you know what? You weren't made for your own pleasure. This day isn't just for fun. We're going to have fun today. But you were made for God's glory. Let's think about how we can glorify God today as we play. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. That was so good. My kids could say that Bible verse before they could say a lot of other things. And knowing that this is the day the Lord has made, one more time, we're driving home. It's not all about you. This is God's day. And the same thing with their body parts. Look at those little feet. Those little feet that were made so they could follow God. Their ears formed to hear God's word. I made up a little poem when they were little. Two little hands to serve the Lord. Two little ears to hear his word. Two little lips to sing God's praise. And two little feet to walk in God's ways. If we can do this, little piggy went to market. We might as well say, those little feet were made to follow God. So from those very earliest of days, we want to build that rhythm of Scripture and who they are in Christ. If they don't know who they are in Christ, the battle is over. Now, of course, you're not totally responsible. You just have to be obedient. The Holy Spirit will be plowing that into their hearts, so don't be scared, you know. But we as parents are the one to teach our kids on this topic. And then you get to the sexuality thing. We want them to be taught, of course, from a biblical worldview. And they're not going to get a biblical worldview anywhere else than from you. Teach them the beauty and the purpose of maleness and femaleness and honoring God as they are, as a male or female. And teach them early that the roles of a man are different from those of a woman. So teach your little boys, you know, when they automatically turn their toast into guns, like even if you're a no-gun family, they bite the toast into a gun shape and go boom, bananas, sticks, they're all guns. But instead of going, oh, violence, say, oh, God made little boys to protect their families. And I can see you want to protect mommy. What a brave boy you are. Isn't that wonderful? So instead of putting, you see how you can reflect God's roles for your children. All people are image bearers of God with great value. So we don't let our girls teach the girls rule and boys drool to each other, right? We're not going to do that. I was looking up something on the internet, and these little girls were doing the things where they go, boys are rotten, made of cotton. Girls are sexy, made of Pepsi. Boys go to Jupiter to get more stupider. Girls go to Mars to become superstars. Rumble, 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 pop. But anyway, it just made me sad. We don't want our children chanting them because that robs them of, I mean, here the girls are singing that they're made of Pepsi, so they're sexy. That's just sad. It should be Coke. But anyway, no. Anyway, we just want to watch that our children, that we catch those little things and we're not thinking that they're just cute, but that we are guiding even our littles. And also, children are naturally inclined to explore different roles. It's not unusual or sinful for little boys watching their mother nurse for them to grab a baby and pretend to nurse. Don't freak out. They don't think they're a girl. They're learning empathy. And so say that, boy, I can see it someday. You're going to make a great daddy the way you're playing with those dolls. And to little girls that may favor trucks, doesn't mean that they're going to be little boys, but wow, I can see that you're creative and like to build things. You know, God is a creative God too. And let them explore and build empathy for one another, even as you're valuing maleness and femaleness. So then you're going to begin, and I know this is really general. We're going to get into some more specific things in a minute. But then comes the, you need to have words to actually talk about what is sexual union. You know, they're going to come, what is sex? Somebody said the word sex, or they said it on TV, or what is sex? Well, sexual union exists to make babies. That's the main thing. Give them the main lesson. It's for making babies. It's fabulous. It's an expression of a husband and a wife's love, and it helps to draw them close together. And sex is appealing. It's made by God, and it's wonderful in the context of marriage. And sex is like fire. It's a place to be warmed and comforted. But if you're not careful with it and you let it get out of bounds, it can do harm. And marriage, that's a picture of the bride of Christ. It's a picture of Jesus and his love for the church. And let your children know that. That can be daunting because we know they're looking at our marriages. And quite honestly, on occasion, my marriage is not that great a reflection of that. But they know, my kids know that's what we're striving for. So I like to think of it like this. It's like a postcard. You know, a postcard, looking at it, you can see how wonderful Hawaii must be. But a postcard is not the same as being there. And so you let your boys and girls know that marriage is like a postcard. It gives us a picture so we can sort of understand what God's love, what Jesus' love for the bride, the church is. But it's not a full picture. But it gives just a little bit of a taste. Now, I have these handouts. This is where we're going to get to some nitty gritty. Okay. I did, to give you these like outlines of when to talk about what, of course, every child is developmentally a little bit different, and they're going to have some different questions. If they're asking the question, they're ready for the answer. So you don't have to give a full answer. You give enough of an answer. If they have a follow-up question, you give more of an answer. So first and foremost, regardless of what these experts, myself included, no, regardless of what these people say, let your child be the leader. But on some of these things, you may need to push a little bit, because if your child is in public school, much of what I took is what is going to be covered in their classes. And even if you opt your child out of those classes, most of the students are in those classes and will be chatting. So if you have neighbors in the public school, even if you're homeschooling, even if you're Christian schooling, the kids around here at church, they talk. They do. We're encouraging relationship. So I'm trying to listen to their conversations, but you never know. So just so you know, this is what your general population is learning. But I took the research that I did, and I put it in the, obviously, from a biblical worldview. So where it's saying at birth to age 2 that you talk about proper name for the body parts, both proper name for the genitals, for health and issues, but also the common names like your bum. You don't always have to say your gluteus maximus. I mean, you can say things like bum and have cute little names as long as they know the real names. And you want to start the idea of privacy for themselves and for others, and you begin that closer to around age 2. And then you're going to continue naming proper names for all of those beautiful little body parts. It can be really hard to say, but you need to say them so they know. This is what you need to know is being taught now in the public schools, that instead of saying, just going to say it, that little boys have penises, they say there are people with penises, and they may or may not be boys. So this is where, even at this little age, we need to be very clear to our children what a boy is and what a girl is, because otherwise they're just not going to hear it. So we need to be very clear about that. At ages 2 and 5, we're going to continue to stress that God made all things, including people, including their little bodies, for His glory. And that people are special parts of God's creation because they're made in His image. You want to define family as a husband, wife, and children. That's the biblical definition of a family. We know that we have some people that are single parents. We know that there are situations where it's not always that, but you define the family and then explain the exceptions for that. Because you know what we really long for our children is that they will have a forever spouse. So that's what we're going to put before them. Begin discussing gender differences and biblical gender roles. Because this is at that age, 2 to 5. Girls can't do that. Boys can't do that. You know, you want them to know girls can do those things, boys can do these things, and this is what God is calling us to. That we want them to know there's different body parts. Tell them that all men grow up to be, boys grow up to be men, all girls grow up to be women, that boys get to be daddies, women get to be mommies. Daddies are the heads of the household, the protectors, providers. Mommies get to co-labor with the daddies, assisting and leading with them. That men and women are equal, but they are different, that God has made them wonderfully different. Begin discussing appropriate boundaries. They should be able to say no to being tickled. And you want them to learn that in your household. Sometimes it's just so hard to stop tickling, but they need to know they're safe and that they can say no. You don't say, you have to hug Granny. Let them hug Granny when they're ready. Granny can understand, but they need to know that their bodies are safe and that they don't have to be invaded, that they get to have that say. And explain how it's only a doctor or nurse can look in certain places. I like to just say those places that are covered up by your underwear. It's kind of a good definition. Another thing is kids this age love to play doctor. I'm sure you've seen that. I've seen that in many families, even here and in other places I've been, where that seemingly innocent game of doctor does turn into an abusive situation where one child unwittingly harms another. So I would just encourage you guys, rather than turning a blind eye to that, direct them to play doctor with animals or define what they can and can't do. But I think just using animals or dolls is a great way to kind of protect them in that. So ages 6 to 8, we're going to reinforce the idea of boundaries. Explain what to do if someone crosses those boundaries. Tell mommy or daddy, tell a teacher, give them very specific things what to do. Explain what to do if they hear about those boundaries being crossed. If a student, a friend, a neighbor, if they overhear something, they should know that they can tell you. And the other thing, often in an abuse situation, they're told, if you tell your mommy and daddy, we're going to hurt your mommy and daddy. We're going to tell them that you are not afraid, that God is going to protect you, and that it's always good to tell that that you won't be hurt. So you need to make that very clear. Establish rules at this age. You're going to start having some screen time. So go ahead and make very clear your use for computer only in public areas. Teach them how to explore safely and make sure you have filters and passwords in place. Our son unwittingly came across some awful pornography, and we didn't know about it for months. He was ahead of the curve with us, because that's just when technology and things were, and it grieves me. So even at age 6 to 8, you need to start explaining what pornography is. I know that seems really young. I have 2 resources on the back, and some of you are going to go home with those resources. But you need to start talking about that with your 6 to 8-year-old. I'm sorry that that's the world we live in, but you need to protect them. And, you know, even some little, especially girls, start really early into puberty. So 6 to 8, you need to start explaining that soon your body is going to become a grown-up's body, and that that's the time of puberty. And even it's the time to start introducing the mechanics of sex. So if they haven't asked, which I'm sure you may, you know, by this time there's going to be a pregnant lady somewhere that's going to cause some, how'd the baby get in there? So you just explain it. It takes a man and a woman. You just explain it very carefully and easily, and it's not a big whoop. Takes a man and a woman. Woman has an egg. The man has a sperm. They meet. How do they meet? I'm so glad you asked that question. I'm an expert in that. God's word has a lot to say about that. So while you're getting your thoughts together, that, you know, the baby doesn't grow inside the mommy's tummy. That's ridiculous. That's where food goes. They all know that. The baby is growing in a special place that God made called the womb or the uterus. And that's really exciting. And God's best is for a man and a woman to be married when they have a baby, so the baby can be part of a family. And don't be afraid to share this, even in broken homes, because you want to share with them the best. And I have a little story here. My daughter, Anna, has 3 siblings that are older than she that were adopted. And she was just beginning to ask some questions, and she's like, how come they have birth mothers? Why don't I have a birth mother? Well, you do have a birth mother. I'm your birth mother. Oh, but they have other birth mothers. So we got to talk about this. And then she's like, what, they grew inside of her, and then she couldn't keep them? Why didn't she have? I said, well, she didn't follow God's ways, and it's God's best that you have a baby when you're married. And she just began to weep, and she said, I want to follow God's ways. Tell me about God's ways. And so in sharing these things, I was able to share the gospel, and she asked Jesus in her heart at that point, and she still looks back to that and remembers that. So look at this. Sexuality leads to 2 different kinds of fruit. So this is the age when your kids are going to notice commercials with 2 women or 2 men or people dressing differently. They'll notice this in school, maybe, that somebody has 2 daddies or 2 mommies. So it's time to start explaining gender confusion. How do you do that? Say, oh, we love them so much, but they're not following God's ways. And so we're going to pray. God says that women marry men, and that if you're a woman, you're not supposed to love another woman that way. But so-and-so are so nice. Yes, they're nice, because God is so kind to make us all his image bearers. But you remember that story about Adam and Eve, and how Eve and Adam, they wanted to choose to be like God? people are still struggling with that today, honey. Sometimes you want to do your own thing, and sometimes they do. And if they don't know God's ways, they're doomed to follow after those things that will hurt their hearts. So start explaining usually. I also have their code word for pickup. Sometimes your children have to be picked up by somebody unexpectedly. We're fortunate that we're in such a community that we all know each other. But there may be somebody that your child doesn't know that has to pick them up. So, like, if this person, whatever your code word is, doesn't tell them spaghetti, they don't go with that person or whatever you want for your code word. I have a code word later for different purposes. But ages 9 to 12 is a time to start internet safety as a top priority. They're getting on the internet at school. They're using it for research. So therefore, you get to talk more about porn and sharing pictures online. And how once something is online, it's there forever. What do you do if a friend shares inappropriate pictures? Tell mom and dad. We're not mean. We want to protect your friends. We're the experts on this. Come to us anytime. Social, moral, and legal consequences of what's shared online. Let them know. Prepare your child. Puberty, if it hasn't hit, is hitting. And you're going to know. So you get to talk about the whole nine yards at this point. Everything. Don't leave them confused or scared when something happens to themselves or a friend. And they're going to start, if they haven't already, start having those crushes on people. Remember that? Oh, man, I had crushes on every boy in my class, I think. And you want to teach them even now to handle those emotions for the glory of God. That yes, that's natural to have those feelings. Tell mom about that because I'm an expert on that. You know, talk to daddy about that. He was just the same way, but we're going to glorify God. Even with that, we're going to protect our mind, and we're not going to dwell on those things. We're not going to think about kissing, and we really don't need to practice kissing our pillow. Just go ahead and enter into their world on that, because it's so confusing. Do you remember how confusing it was? You're 10 years old. You're not old enough to be married, but you're writing your name with somebody else's last name there. And it's just very confusing. So you're the experts. We're so glad they're talking to you about this. Fully explain the mechanics of sex early in this age range and the beauty and purpose of proper sexual relationships, as well as the danger and harm. They need to start knowing a little bit about abusive relationships. And this may come about easily through bullying conversations, because this time, middle school age range, you often start seeing some of that as kids are confused about who they are. You may even start talking about sexually transmitted disease. Who wants to talk about this with your kids? Nobody. We don't want to, but we need to protect them. We're going to go more into gender roles. We're going to discuss gender confusion and how you talk about this with your friends, why we believe what we believe. We're going to go back to Genesis again and again during this age range, because that's what tells us that God created man and woman in his image for different roles, for marriage, to multiply and fill the earth. And now I have another code word. They may be somewhere that you all approved, or maybe you didn't approve, and they snuck off, and they realize, oh, I am in way over my head. Somebody's doing weed. They're drinking. There are older kids here. I didn't know there were going to be older kids. Give them a word that they can call without losing face, so that they don't have to go, Mommy, come get me. So something that they can say like, yeah, I can't believe nobody likes Monopoly. And they hear the word, you hear the word Monopoly, and you're going to go, maybe that would be a dweeby word. Make something that they don't think is dweeby. So anyway, so that they can call you and you know to come rescue them, because you're the safe place for them. They may have made something foolish. It doesn't mean you're not going to have a consequence, but they know that you'll rescue them without question. And as you get into teens, this is a time you want clear rules for the phone and internet, rules and guidelines for dating, preparedness for marriage, birth control, consequences of alcohol and drug abuse. Because you know what? Our kids are going to struggle with those things. Mine have. And it's awful. And we want to prepare them, and we want to love them, and we want to continue to point them to Christ in the midst of all of this. And I know that's just like, you're like, but how do I do that? John's going to get into that a little bit more. But we can also look around this room. You're not alone. And so if you're struggling with how to broach some of these things with your own kids, pray. Call somebody in this room, because I guarantee you, even if you don't know these other people, we all love each other. We're the church, and we're going to pray for each other. So if you're like, I know you don't know me. I just saw your name in the church directory on the members part, and I remember that you were there, and could you just pray for me? They will pray for you. I promise. I know you pretty much well enough I can say that. So we'll have Q&A later if you want to stay. But that was just a brief overview for starting with the littles. Did everybody put their names in the drawing basket? If you didn't and you have elementary kids, I've got some giveaways, and we'll draw at the end of our snack time. Jesus, thank you so much that you are the God of sexuality, that you made women and men wonderfully in your image, and that this is not too big for us to talk to our kids about, and that you put our kids in this confused time for your own glory so that they could be lights, so that they could struggle well with these things and come to fall upon your grace. In Jesus' name, amen, and bless the food.